Hi, this is Paul Warne, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rams Review Podcast with Jason as host. Not been on the last couple due to work commitments. I am now available this week. Corey's off on his jollies. He's off to Philadelphia. So I'm taking hosting duties, not alone this week. We've got regular panellist Jack Bryan. Jack, how are we doing, mate?
I'm good, yeah. Good result on Saturday, as I'm sure we'll get on to, so there should be a lot to discuss.
Yes, absolutely. One of the reasons why I wanted to try and get one out, appreciate we're recording this 45 minutes before Derby kick-off in the FA Cup's first round, but we wanted to get one snuck in, and this, unfortunately, was the only time that we could try and arrange something. So, obviously, there'll be no FA Cup chat as such, but we couldn't pass on that wonderful performance at the weekend and leave that too long. So, definitely the reason to get together. And also, we've got returning guest, Cameron Storer. Cameron, thanks for joining us, mate. Appreciate you busy. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Pleasure to be on. And yeah, good to be discussing a really pleasant result on Saturday.
Absolutely. And that's where I'll start. As I say, I mean, obviously, for people who listen to the podcast, you've been listening to Jack talk and Corey, and I've not done the last couple. So it feels a bit weird. I've not. Derby's slight uptick in form after that miserable trip to Stevenage. I don't think I've really done one since then. So it's been a bit doom and gloom. So hopefully it's not a bad omen that I'm back on and we suffer tonight. But obviously, rolling into now an international break, so a nice time to have a bit of a reflect, really, I suppose, chaps. And as I say, certainly look back at the last couple of games, certainly at Pride Park. Obviously, the uptick in form there has been a welcome one. Obviously, away form's sort of dipped a little bit, been a bit patchy. But all in all, we're still coasting in and around that top six area. And obviously, I think it's only on goal difference that we're out of it. So, you know, something that I know I certainly talked about 2-3 weeks ago, and I know it's been mentioned on the pod, it's about breaking into that top six. And obviously, we were a bit frustrated with the Shrewsbury away and the Stevenage away. But Derby's own form's ticked round. OK, Northampton a couple of weeks ago, we did what, you know, we had to do, really, and put them away. We've had a couple of decent results in other games. Obviously, we're through in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, or whatever it may well be called now. And obviously, hopefully, a comfortable path into the second round of the FA Cup tonight, even though obviously that one's not going to be easy by any stretch. They gave us a decent game at Gresty Road. So, you know, we'll wait and see on that one. But Barnsley, that's what I want to talk about. Jack, come to you first, mate. It was one of them. Corey obviously picked up on it last week on the podcast. It was a top six side coming to Pride Park. I think they'd got the best away record in League One at the time.
Yeah.
And whilst I don't think I could use the word scintillating performance, Derby were definitely the better of the two sides, definitely the more attacking of the two sides, definitely created more chances of the two sides. And obviously, in the end, that did roll out with a 3-0 victory. And to be honest with you, it could have and probably should have been 6 or 7. They were obviously a couple more absolute gilt-edged chances, other than the 3 goals that we scored. But all in all, you know, we'll break down the game a bit, Jack. First off, it was a combative, I thought, first off.
Yep.
Tackles were flying in. I like Derby's work rate. I like Derby's aggression, something probably we've not really said too much about this season. we knew Barnsley were going to be one of them sides that came to Derby and do that. Obviously, they've clearly found a bit of a game plan away from home with the away record that they've got. Obviously, Derby seemed to nullify that quite well. And as always, in most football games, key goals at key times just put Derby comfortably in control of it, didn't it, Jack? And really, I don't think Barnsley ever really looked like being in that game.
No, I mean, that first kind of half hour or so was certainly closer than the rest of the game. I think once James Collins scored the penalty, which he just whacked straight down the middle, you know, that gave Derby the upper hand and, yeah, just a bit of a leg up and, you know, came out flying in the second half. Very precise with goal. And then there was a slightly worrying moment when Nathaniel Mendes-Laing went off injured and you thought, you know, oh, what's this going to do now? Because he's been in fine form the last few games. But they, you know, they kept going. Kane Wilson came on and did well again after a good performance on Wednesday night. And yeah, they're just, as you say, it could have been 6 or 7. They did miss some good chances, but I think the key thing to take away is that they obviously scored 3, so that it wasn't the same situation that we've heard too often after the match where they're going, well, if we'd have scored that, you know, they took enough of the chances to get away with missing a few as well. So all in all, great performance. As you say, great work rate. I thought seeing the fullbacks get as high up as they did at times and play that kind of attacking football was refreshing and what we wanted to see. You know, Craig Forsyth obviously got his goal from a set piece routine, I think, and there was another one, but as well that was close. I think that's where the third goal came from. It was saved, wasn't it? Forsyth's attempt, Collins tapped it in, but yeah, on the whole, I think that was probably our best performance of the season that I can think of off the top of my head anyway. I'm trying to think of other results. I mean, Peterborough was good away, but even that was just there was a good 15 minutes really. That was one of the better performances and better results of the season so far, I think. And I think you'd say, you know, outside the playoffs, it's only outside of the playoffs on goals scored, in fact. So identical records, Barnsley, same goal difference. And Derby and Barnsley both have a game in hand on Stevenage, who have 2 points more. So win the game in hand, you're in the top 6. Regardless of goal difference, you're a point ahead of Stevenage with a win. So, yeah, who knows when that will come. Of course, no game this weekend. Some teams are still playing, so some teams around us, you know, might play 2 games more. But yeah, the results are starting to come. It's a, you know, a few games without a loss now, isn't it? So things are certainly looking better than they were a couple of weeks ago. Let's just say that.
No, I think that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it was all doom and gloom after that Stevenage game, and to be honest with you, quite rightly. But Cameron, I think Derby, I appreciate, you know, one of the 2-2 draw at Crewe in the FA Cup last week, the other weekend. I don't think Derby played bad in it. They found themselves 2-0 down, which obviously was a bit of a worry. The putting away of Northampton comfortably, the comfortable in the, I think comfortable is a fair word to say about Barnsley. Obviously a professional performance Tuesday night last week in the trophy. And it's goals, 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 something that Derby haven't done enough of this season, putting the ball in the back of the net with the chances created. And for me, I look at the Barnsley one. I wasn't expecting it to be as comfortable as it actually turned out to be. I mean, okay, for me, Barnsley didn't show anything that makes me think that they're, you know, a fantastic side in this division. I appreciate it was on one game. I actually worked with somebody who was a Barnsley fan, and he did say that was the poorest performance they've put in this season. And he did say, I'm not quite sure why. We're not normally a side that will go to teams like Derby and be intimidated. But it did feel a little bit like that. Derby, it just felt for me in the South Stand that Derby wanted it that, you know, 5-10% more. And I must admit, listening to the talking last night on Radio Derby, they were going through the stats, and Derby's running stats were the second best that they've done all season. And I actually thought that you could see that on Saturday. That little extra was there. And obviously now it must be about obviously trying to get that out of them obviously not, it's going to be difficult Saturday, Tuesday, but you've got to get that out of them more than not, because it just goes to show you that when you can get it out of them, most teams in this division are going to struggle against Derby. And that's not obviously just us being big headed and because we're a big side, but the proof now is, you know, the proof's starting to come a little bit. If Derby are on the metal, teams can't cope with Derby. And, you know, it's something that we've kind of said for the majority of the season, on paper, it should be like that. It's just nice now that they're actually turning that out when it matters, when they cross that white line and, you know, points are up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the second half was the best half of the season. I think first half, it was two very similar teams that didn't really have many ideas. That's what it looked like. And fortunately for us, they have a lapse in concentration at the back and gift us a blatant penalty, and we're able to get in front. And obviously, goals change games, and I think that gave us confidence. And we scored at such a perfect time in the second half, straight after the second half, and Fozzie takes the goal very, very well. And that's the thing that was missing in the game against Crewe, was a bit, we were clinical, and it just took our left back to do that, but he was clinical in that finish. And then all of a sudden, I think that just lifted us, and it maybe it dropped the heads of the Barnsley players who probably just had a you know, not necessarily a telling off, but certainly they've just discussed at half time how they're going to attack it in the second half, and that plan goes out the window after 2 minutes. You could see visibly their heads drop, and we just played into that. And I think something that, you know, yes, it's much of a nothing game the Tuesday before in that cup against Wolves under 21s, but you can see them start to get more confident, especially James Collins. And when we are confident, we are one of the best teams in the league. And we played like that in the second half. The energy was terrific in the second half. Barnsley didn't have any answers. We were on everything. And they had one clear-cut chance that I can recall in the second half where they put it past the post. But apart from that, they didn't really have anything. And Barkhuizen's missed a one-on-one, and Cashin's missed a header from 6 or 7 yards. And, you know, it really should have been even more comfortable than what it was. But we were very good in the second half. We played the way I think Warner wants us to play in that second half. And the first half, it was a nothing game really, and it just took a goal to change it all. Unfortunately, that fell to us. But like you say, it's weird because our form just flip-flops. We were terrific away from home to start the season, and Stevenage is one of the worst I've ever seen Derby play. Like, categorically, was there, new ground, great to tick off a new ground, but that is one of the worst I've ever seen us play. And quite rightly, we were angry and we were frustrated. Frustrated, and we're asking, what is that all about? Because our away form was terrific for the first three, four, five games. And like I say, it's flip flop because the away form is now not so great, but the home form, which wasn't so great at the beginning of the season, is flip flopped, and now we look phenomenal at home. So if we can just combine the two, there's absolutely no reason why we can't push even beyond the playoffs, in my opinion. Because if you look at the likes, we played everybody now at the top of the table, and there's not really anybody, with the exception of maybe Oxford, who have just lost their manager, that I was like, you know what, they are better than us. Even Portsmouth, you know, we're moments away from beating Pompey, and we don't play our best against them. There's nobody I think we should be fearful of in that top six. We just have not been consistent, both home and away. And the more they put performances together like they did in the second half against Saturday, and like they did for the whole game against Wolves, regardless of the opponent, confidence starts to pick up, and we can take on the league, and we can be anybody on our day. I would actually say, you're right, Jack, there hasn't been that many performances like that, but I think Northampton was probably our best performance from start to finish, in my opinion, of the season so far. Regardless of who the opponent is, maybe Barnsley gets a little bit of the edge because the opponent is supposed to be better. But I thought Northampton, we were terrific from start to finish, and that was just the response we needed from Stevenage. And then, yeah, it was a bit of a cagey first half against Barnsley, while we felt each other out. But that second half was exactly what we need. And now we've, you know, we've scored, quick maths here, we've scored 11 goals in the last three home games over the space of Northampton, Wolves, and Barnsley. And, you know, Barnsley is supposed to be one of the best teams in the league. They were literally the best away team in the league. So there's no reason why we can't continue to go on that run that the last time I was on that pod, I spoke about in October. Hopefully now it comes in November, and we do continue that into the likes of Bristol Rovers and Port Vale and Leyton Orient over the next three league games.
I think it's no surprise, really, we've got to talk about James Collins. 5 goals in 2 games in the space of 4 days. Some will say he should score an hat-trick against under-21 sides. Okay, fine. I understand where you're coming from. It's for me, it was the quality of the finishers on last Tuesday against Wolves that I was quite pleased with. And then a different sort of performance on Saturday. Scores a penalty, fine. Obviously, you are expected to score penalties. And then it is a tap-in, but he's got to be there. I was quite pleased with James Collins. In fact, I don't think there's anybody you could really single out, obviously, on Saturday, which is normally hard to do after you've won a game. But I don't think there's anybody that really didn't put a shift in, and you couldn't say they all sort of, you know, played their part for me on Saturday as a collective team. And as we've all just kind of mentioned there, when that happens, if you can get that together more consistently than not, then obviously Derby are going to find themselves at the right end of the table. So we can only be pleased about that. But Jack, James Collins, it could be against anybody, but an hat-trick, a brace in the next game 4 days later, it's that old adage that everybody says, you know, he's been in and out, he's got given an opportunity, he's took his opportunity, he's been given his chance to prove himself in a league game, and then he's gone and taken it again. Obviously starting tonight as well, just to help breed that confidence. I mean, that's 10 goals he scored now, Jack, this season. He clearly enjoyed it. Some of his celebrations on Saturday with the fans, he was getting there. I mean, he is a bit of a Marmite player. We know that. Some love him, some hate him. But at the end of the day, I don't think you can really knock him at the moment. He's obviously finding that little purple patch. Hopefully he can add to that tonight. And almost the international break comes at the wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you say 10 goals now in all competitions. He's top scorer in the league now, 7 goals there. You know, 5 goals in 2 games, even if, you know, 3 of those are against an under-21 side, is not to be sniffed at all. It's starting to breed, as you say, some confidence that hopefully by the time people are listening to this will have been built upon further. To hopefully get that clinical striker that we've been crying out for all season, really. I mean, if you look at his record previously, we know he can finish. We know he can get a lot of goals. If you look back to when Luton won League One, granted that was nearly 5 years ago. So he needs to just continue this form and make it, you know, a proper run rather than just a couple of games here and there. But if he could keep this up, you know, that would be, I mean, I don't need to say, no, to tell you that would be obviously a huge difference. But yeah, he just looks so much more confident even on Saturday after the hat trick last week. So let's hope that continues, because yeah, we need somebody who can consistently score goals for us.
Absolutely. I think confidence is key. And Cameron, I'll pass on for your thoughts about James Collins. And I think Jack's hit the nail on the head. I think he did look confident on Saturday. It's very easy to look confident in a winning side when you've already put one away from the penalty spot. But he's got to be there for that second one. And he is there, which is exactly what type of striker that he is. You know, he's not going to rocket them in from 30 yards every week. It's not the type of player that he is. Scored a very nice goal last week in the under-21s. As I think all three were pretty quality, but I know there was one particular finish I really enjoyed. He is a finisher. Fans have said it since we brought him in. He is a finisher. He does, to me, seem to lack confidence sometimes. But then again, I think if we were being completely honest, there's been times this season where he's played okay. He hasn't really put the ball in the back of the net, and Warne shuffled the pack a little bit too much. He's then obviously somebody else has then gone in there and okay, performed well and put the ball in the back of the net. But for somebody who is, and strikers are that, you know, a lot of strikers are like this, if they're not playing and they've not got confidence, they're not ultimately at their best. And I don't think James Collins sometimes is that type of player that you can bring him off the bench, and he's, you know, he's going to make as much of an impact as some other types of striker that you can have. confidence is key with him. It's clearly obvious. As I say, I think the international break's coming a bit of a wrong time. Hopefully he has a decent performance as well tonight. If he could get one again tonight, you know, that's really going to benefit him. But yeah, Cameron, your opinion on James Collins over the last couple of games? Odd to criticise him, really, I think.
Yeah, I think Collins is the best striker at the club. I think he is our number nine, and I think he has unfairly been dropped sometimes. I think it's not just his work rate, which I always think is great, and you know, you can say that about the likes of the Connor Washington and Martin Wygon as well. We do have grafters that play in that position. I think what he adds defensively goes overlooked. I think very often he is the man who wins the defensive corner headers. Very often he is the man that gets us out. He adds that physicality to the squad as well. My biggest frustration with James Collins is I sometimes don't feel he's in the box enough. I feel like sometimes he takes the ball on the wing and he's coming short to take the ball, but I don't know if that necessarily says more about how we're playing in that game, more so than something about Collins, because I didn't seem to recall him taking the ball short much against Barnsley. He was in the right areas against Barnsley, as he showed for the third goal. So I think he's the best striker at the club, and I think I've said this the other time I was on this pod. I think when available, you play your best squad, and I think he is our best forward. I think Connor Washington had something with regards to graft and hard work, but how Connor Washington leads the line by himself ahead of Collins, I don't know. That was one of the reasons I think it looked the way it did against Stevenage, because it's not necessarily just the goal scoring. It is also what he adds from a physicality standpoint. He is our out ball. And if you do want to be more direct, which sometimes one is, you need someone who can compete in the air and can hold the ball up for you. And I think he is very good at that. I think he is sometimes unfairly criticised for where he finds himself in the field of play. I don't know whether he's been asked to take the ball short, whether he's been asked to take the ball out wide. If he is, it might not be on him. If he isn't, that is my biggest frustration with Collins. When he is in that penalty box and when he is leading the line, I have very few complaints. And I think he's like you say, he's had a chance and he's taken that, and hopefully he'll only continue to grow from this. At this level, I think he is a very good forward, and I think he's showing that over the last two games, and hopefully he continues to show that tonight and into the games upcoming. I have no problems with the likes of Washington and Wygon. I just feel like when you are playing in a one forward system, you need someone who physically can win things for you. And I think he is the best at that.
Yeah, no, I can't argue that. You're right. He is the most physical presence. I know Waggy can put himself about, but yeah, he's definitely that type of player. And yeah, absolutely. Hopefully he continues that. And we see more and more from him, because obviously a striker in form is whoever it may well be is pivotal to a promotion charge. Moving on from the Barnsley game, cracking performance. Hopefully, you know, it's a shame that there isn't another league game to back it up. Game on Saturday, Reading away, cancelled but due to international call-ups. Actually wouldn't have been the worst time in the world to play them. Obviously, always a tricky one at the, not that it's called the Medeski anymore, whatever it's called these days, the Selectcor Leasing Stadium, as it says on my notes. There we go. It would have been a nice time to try and back that up again, you know, back it up, really build on something. But of course, the next four are the final four teams that we haven't played this season as of yet. Obviously, Bristol Rovers at home after the international break. We'll obviously come across those, hopefully, if we can get through in the FA Cup, we'll come across those twice in the space of probably 2-3 weeks or whatever it may well be. A trip to Port Vale in midweek, if we can recreate exactly the same as what we did at Vale Park last season, we'll be happy with that. Then obviously league newcomers away, Orient, will be a tricky one, I'm sure, but again, one that, you know, you'd go into if after the Bristol Rovers game and the Port Vale game, and maybe the FA Cup tie is squeezed in between that. I'm not actually sure when the second round's due to be played, or if one of those games might get moved. It's all about building confidence before then. Obviously, as I say, the final sort of team that we've not come across yet this season in Wickham. Obviously, there's Lincoln, but we've played Lincoln in the Trophy. I'm sure there'll be an absolutely different kettle of fish in the Trophy. But really, when you look at those next few before, obviously, and then you're actually up to Boxing Day before you know it. And I know it's obviously not played on paper. We say it many, many times. I think Derby's next four or five are quite favourable. I mean, if Derby can click and keep performing like they did on Saturday and back up that performance, and obviously, I think we're due a bit of an away performance because of obviously the last couple have been a little bit slack. You can easily find yourself in the thick of that Christmas run, Jack, really on a head of steam. And I think it's we've said it many, many times before, the Christmas period and the Easter period, you've got to be, if you want to achieve something, you've got to be in some sort of form. And I'm looking at those fixtures between now and Boxing Day. I mean, yes, you've still got to beat those teams, and don't take them for granted, but it's not like you're playing four out of the top six. You are playing, four out of the bottom half of the table.
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify on Bristol Rovers. So yeah, they're a next league game at home on the 25th of November, and then the likelihood is we will play them again the following Saturday because there is no fixture scheduled for 2nd of December. So that's when the FA Cup second round is going to fall, I believe. So it'll be that weekend. So yeah, 2 weekends in a row if we get through tonight. Obviously, people listening will know whether we are or not. But yeah, there's some decent fixtures there. Bristol Rovers obviously had managerial change. Have they appointed anyone, or have they still got an interim manager? I can't. Because Joey Barton left, didn't they? So yeah, I think they've still got an interim, and then you've got, so who knows? Another 10 days before that game. So who knows what they'll look like at that point. Port Vale, they've been, going, they're only a couple of points, 3 points above the relegation zone. So yeah, that's favourable on paper. Leyton Orient, newly promoted. And Wickham, not great, but I mean, Wickham are never particularly easy when we play them. There's always something. But yeah, if you put those together, there's a decent chance of a run of form there, and you get, Lincoln, I think, will look very different actually to what we saw in the EFL Trophy. Michael Scubella has just been appointed there. He was coach at Leeds, and then they've also got a new assistant head coach in Tom Shaw, who is actually the head of football operations at Nottingham Trent University, and will leave there to take that role up, having coached at Lincoln for a while. So you've got couple of young coaches there that were kind of taking their at this sort of level and in jobs of this importance for the first time. Be interesting to see what they look like by then. Obviously, they'll have a few games before that, but there's a good chance, as you say, to hopefully keep this run going, build some momentum. And I mean, you get through the Christmas period, you get to January, and if we put a good run together, if we keep this form up, then who knows what it looks like. But yeah, I mean, I think the key thing for the players, as much as we can look ahead, the key thing for the players is probably, as cliche as it is, take it a game at a time.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Cameron, your say those fixtures coming up, a potential double header against Bristol Rovers, a potential double header return to Pride Park of one Chris Martin as well. I think might be the first time he's been back to Pride Park, possibly. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember him coming back, and I actually can't. So it could well be that the return of Chris Martin is not too far away. Unfortunately, not in a Derby shirt like some fans would like. But just that run, like Jack alluded to there, I'm not disrespecting any of those sides, and we've seen it already this season, the consistently inconsistent of Derby County. But there is no team really. Wickham, okay, might be one of them, but you've got them at Pride Park. There's nobody really coming up in those next few fixtures that Derby should look at and expect, to not be coming out with something. So, you've got to say, you can only beat what's in front of you. You can only Derby still will need to turn up in those games, but it is after, obviously an international break, a bit of a period of sort of reflection. And he's going to have, he's surely Paul Warne's message to the team is going to be, you've come up against a couple of sticky wickets away from home and you've not looked fantastic. You've put a good, you've put, teams away at home that you would expect to. You've beaten a couple, you've beaten a solid top six side. This is now the opportunity. The inconsistency has to stop. It's not a turn point in the season, but it almost is at the same time that if you navigate these next four or five fixtures up until that Christmas period, if you can navigate these well and come out of it, 10, 12 points out of 15, Derby are going to be right up there. They are going to be closing down that gap of the top two. And like a bit like you said earlier, there's nobody really that I've seen other than I would agree with you, probably Oxford, that, actually scare me in this division. So, but it's all about putting points on the board. It's easy to say Derby will get 10 points. They might end up with three. But again, it comes back to consistency. We've seen Derby inconsistent in those opening 15, 16 games of the season. We now need that period of consistency. And if we do, Derby will be comfortably in, come Christmas, Derby will be comfortably in the playoffs. And we'll have one eye on them top two, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think the most important games, ironically, are probably the two away games, Port Vale and Leyton Orient, purely because of how the form has been away from home. I mean, we referenced the Stevenage game, the Shrewsbury game was very disappointing as well. So you have to almost stop the bleed away from home in a weird way, because we're in a position where if we were to win tonight against Crewe, which obviously people will know listening to this, if we have won, we're going to have a home tie in the next round of the FA Cup. So we're looking at, one, two, three, four, four of the next six games will be at home. So if we can continue that home form, we will be in good stead. The two away games are interesting because Port Vale wasn't easy last year, as much as it was a phenomenal night. We come away with a last minute winner. That was not a great performance. And then Leyton Orient, I know very little about them. They're new to the league, but I would imagine they are probably tougher at home than they are when travelling. So those are the two games I look at with intrigue on what happens there. Bristol Rovers actually haven't appointed a manager yet. I looked up when you were talking, Jack, but their interim manager is their favourite to take over. And I kind of hope that their interim manager does take over. I know nothing about the guy. He's called Andy Mangan, but what will happen is if some of the other favourites in for the job, Carl Robinson and Gary Monk, if one of them take over, it's likely that we will be facing them in their debut game, which is always something you want to avoid. So if we do avoid that, then you would probably back us in pretty much every one of those games, like you're saying. But I think the most important thing is correcting the away form, because we have been poor. It's not just the results. We have been very, very poor away from home. The only game we come away with any malice away from home recently is the Crewe game, which I agree with you to an extent. We did look in control of that game, but ultimately we're 2-0 down with our first team against a team in a division below. So regardless of how we played, we still did not play well. We managed to rescue a tie tonight, but we have not been good away from home for several games now. Really, you're probably looking as far back from memory as maybe Carlisle. It's probably the last time we were anything like we can be away from home. I think between then, Blackpool as well. I forgot about Blackpool, but apart from that, we've gone to the likes of Cheltenham and Shrewsbury and Stevenage, three teams that, okay, Stevenage are doing very well, but the other two, those are results we should be getting. They're probably similar teams to the likes of a Port Vale and a Leyton Orient. So we need to correct that quick, fast, and in a hurry. And it's a good opportunity for us to do that. So yeah, you look at those five games. Listen, they're all winnable. Every game in this division should be winnable for the squad that we have. But I think that those five games in particular, it will be interesting to see where we're at Christmas, because in the three games that follow Christmas, they are pretty tough. Just to look even further ahead, I mean, Wigan away on Boxing Day. I know Wigan are towards the bottom, but they certainly haven't played like they are in what I've seen. And they were one of the better teams to come Pride Park this year. They've obviously had that points deduction, so that's a tough game. And then you've got Oxford and Peterborough, two of the top six, and one of them's away from home, and one of them we're looking for revenge of a 4-1 scalp in their backyard. So those are three tough fixtures that back up Christmas. So it's not just the likes, you look at those five fixtures as an opportunity, it's the likes of, it's something we need results in those games. I'd be looking at 10 points as a minimum. If we can get more than that, it's terrific. If we can get less than that, we might not be who I think we are. When I say we can push into the top six and look to push on to the top two, so it will be a very interesting period, as it all is. And we're starting to get towards the real crux of the season now. Where can we get to January, knocking on the door? And if we can we get maybe one or two players for help that maybe get us in the door?
No, absolutely. And that's about it for this episode of the podcast. It's not, as I say, we're going into an international break, and we're starting to have little smiles on our faces. But obviously, that can shatter very quickly. But let's fingers crossed that doesn't happen. And the next time we reconvene as a recorded podcast, the next episode we'll have out over the international break is a Rams Review Meets episode that's already scheduled to come out over the weekend. And then obviously we'll have a podcast next week in preparation for obviously that visit of Bristol Rovers and see if we're still in the hat of the FA Cup. My thanks go out to the guests, Jack, Brian, as always. Jack, thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll just add very quickly, Derby women, 5-1 winning the FA Cup at the weekend at Lincoln City. Captain Amy Sims with a hat trick, and she was FA Cup first round player of the round. So congratulations to her for that award and the entire team for getting through.
No, absolutely, and we definitely need another women's segment. We've briefly looked through it, but we need to go in that into a little bit more detail. Hopefully, we can catch up on something like that in the next coming weeks. I know me and Corey is certainly trying to work something out with the ladies' team, so hopefully, we'll get that soon. And the other guest, Cameron, thanks very much for coming back on the podcast again, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you very soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Up the Rams.
Absolutely. And that is the final thing to say. Thanks for everybody. This has been the Rams Review Podcast. Up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast, or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.